Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mighty Oaks podcast, proudly brought to you by Ray White Oakley. It's finals time here at Oakley. We've been through the first round and we're heading into two grand finals this weekend, gentlemen. And joining me tonight, as always, is Matt Girolami. Welcome back, Matt.
How you going, Miles?
Yeah, good. Very keen for this weekend. And returning again as co-host, Jimmy Benn. Welcome back.
G'day, guys. Great to be back. Finals time. How good?
Yes, the best time of year, definitely, around the Oakley Cricket Club. And as you'll remember from last weekend, we had three senior teams make the finals. They all played this past weekend, that hot as steamy as weekend. We had two out of three wins. So as the old saying goes, two out of three ain't bad. Unfortunately for us, Jim, the twos could not get the job done. But the threes and the fours are both through to a grand final. So we're going to go through those three games, talk about those matches, and talk about the upcoming grand finals we got this weekend. Once again, thank you to Ray White, I mentioned that earlier, who have been our sponsor all the way through and will continue to be for the rest of the season. And of course, we're going to finish once again with Giro's quiz at the end of the episode. So stay tuned for that. All right, boys, let's stuck right into it. We're going to start with the fourth 11. They played their semi-final on the weekend. As we mentioned, in the thirds and fours, it's a top four final series. First versus fourth, second v third, straight knockout. So these guys won and they're through to the grand final. They played against Endeavour Hills out at Endeavour Hills' home ground, their first 11 ground, which was cool. And batted first, were sent in, I believe, lost the toss.
Yep.
Were sent in on a 38 degree day, which is an interesting call. And we posted 8 for 285. And the story of the day here was, of course, our man, Trent Shields' finals dark horse performer, Dion De Silva, who scored 121 off 180 balls with 14 fours and a six in the score of 285. Might throw to you here, Matt. Tell us a little bit about day one and who else made runs.
Yeah, so obviously, as you mentioned, Dion made 121, which is where the bulk of our runs ended up coming from. The top three sort of struggled to get going, as can be happening in finals. But Dion at four and Raf at five really brought stability to the middle of our innings. And their partnership was crucial in sort of getting this up to that total. It allowed Dion to get set so he could go on to make that big score. And Raf was a bit unlucky with that run out to get him out for 27. Then brought Chaps to the crease.
Yes, I've got the scorecard up here. We'll give a quick shout out. Harry D. Rosario opened up. He got 18. Pierce got 9, Craig got 4, but yeah, Dion was batting at number 4, 121 off 180 balls with 14 fours and a 6. Batted for a while with Raf Parton, who got 27. Arch came and went for 9, and then we had Ryan Chappell, who was the other big scorer of the day, scoring 58 not out off 84 balls. And tonight at Tuesday training, prior to the grand final, Matt, you chatted with Chaps out on the track. We asked him about the day and the match, so let's hear from Ryan Chappell.
Hi guys, I'm here with Ryan Chappell from the 4th 11 after their victory against Endeavour Hills on the weekend, sending them to the grand final this weekend. Chaps, congratulations. Run us through the weekend. How did you think the team performed across both days?
Really well. Got sent in on Saturday. Started a little bit shaky, lost a few wickets, but we'd started with some good momentum. And then once Dion got in, and then Raf joined him. It was really quite easy for them. They just hit the gaps, ran really well, and took advantage of the conditions.
Yeah, it'd be hard not to mention Dion for his 121. Yeah. You were out there for a chunk of his innings, including when he hit those runs. Now Dion's obviously been under you at the Craig Shield. So run us through what was the emotions feeling like for him and for yourself.
I can't talk for young Dion. I'm sure he was extremely happy. He's not one to let his emotions get to him though. But he was fantastic. He didn't show any frustration out there. He was just very relaxed the whole time, and he just wonderful. Didn't give a chance until he was on, I think, 115. So chanceless, really. And then he was only going as hard as he could at the end. So that's the only reason why they got him out, because he was spent. He was great.
Perfect. And for yourself, obviously 58 not out, really sort of dominant at the back end. You had that last 20. I've heard that you were targeting 180 for the first 60, and then you really wanted to accelerate after that. You were probably the main person accelerating after that. So give us some thoughts. What was the last 20 overs like for you?
It was really pushing to get to the next 10. That was the whole theory that we went with, especially when Dion was still out there. We just wanted to get the next 10, and if we were able to be there for the next 10, it was just the way to be. It was after, I think, in around about the 65, they did start to bring us back a bit, about between 65 and 70. But then we were able to get back on top of them with some good overs, some big overs. We took their leg spinner out of the game after two overs. He bowled two overs for 21. Dion absolutely took to him. And that helped us so much, because all they had then was medium paces and there was no movement. There was up and down, and if they didn't hit their spot, it was runs. Yeah,
perfect. And lastly, obviously mentioned that you got sent in on the first day. So on day two, had a pretty easy task in a sense of defending 285, which is a really good score in finals. Really good spread of wickets across all the boys. What about the overall performance on the Sunday?
Perfect. Everyone bowled really good channels. Jalen was wonderful. Sammy opened up really well, and so did Joel Ajani. They were both, all three of those three were just perfect. Couldn't falter any of their endeavours. Josh bowled pretty well. Taran, who hurt his finger in the warm-up, bowled exceptionally well, and so did Haz. And when Haz got Big Vaughan Baxter out with a toppy that hit something and just stayed low, we knew it was 100% ours. So, yeah.
Perfect, obviously. Good luck for this weekend.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
That was Ryan Chappell chatting to Matt out on the training track ahead of the grand final. Now let's take it back to the semi-final they played. So they were defending 285, the fours, and on day two, got it done very comfortably, ended up bowling Endeavour Hills out for 133. Were never really in danger, although I know there were a few nervous faces when, was the captain of Endeavour Hills?
Yeah, Vaughan Baxter.
He was in there for a bit.
Yeah, he hung around the last time we played them and really pushed their total up, which obviously we were a bit weary of, especially seeing as they batted first and set a high total last time. So it was always going to be a challenge to get him out. Fortunately, the wickets fell around him, so we maintained our dominance. And I think once Vaughan was out, they ended up being eight down or something like that. So
that
was pretty much game, set, match from there. But big shout out to Harry De Rosario, 2 for 14 off 13, including 8 maidens. Likes to bowl early in the innings when the ball's skidding a little bit more. Prefers the ball sort of pushing through rather than turning. So good on him. Joel Ajani up top took the first two wickets of the innings, 2 for 21 off 10. And Taran Kurunaratne with his 2 for 42 off 11. Injured his finger in the warm-up, managed to persevere, push through and deliver
11 important overs for them.
Yeah, polled exactly. Quite well on the MVP as well.
Did
for a first year.
Did he?
Did very, very well.
Well, he took 16 wickets as of the week before final.
For the season, yeah.
So he'd been going all right.
Had a great season. And then, fun fact, found out tonight, he can bowl equally good right and left-handed. Pretty remarkable cricketer.
Can he really?
Yeah. It's interesting. He goes out and he bowls left-handed and you kind of just freaked out on what's going on there. And then, he's hits the spot as often as he does right-handed. It's actually a bit ridiculous.
Does he ever do that in matches?
He's never brought it out in matches. He loves bringing it out in the warm-ups, though.
Yeah,
he's cool. Good for a couple in the warm-up. Going back to the game, and also wickets to Jack Allen, Sam Iverson, Josh Godden-Ward, and Araf Pardhan, my man that I backed in for MVP, starting off well.
Yeah, so they all took one wicket. And two wickets to Harry D, Joel Ajani, and Taran, as you said. A pretty comfortable win in the end. I mean, playing finals on a 38-degree double day weekend and you've made 285 day one, you'd be pretty unlucky to lose that one, honestly. But they ended up winning by 150 runs and they power through to a grand final in which they're going to play Mount Waverley away at their threes and fours ground.
Threes and fours
ground. Reserve, because their one's ground is still being redeveloped, I think.
Yeah, or nowhere near ready, I don't think so.
Yeah.
We've played them twice this year. We played them in round two on the Sunday, obviously with the ground availabilities. That was a loss. Close loss can kind of put that down to the pitch. That was a shocking pitch to sort of bat on. So especially to bat second on that and try and chase was always going to be a real tough challenge.
Hmm.
But to play them a second time at Scammell Reserve and get quite a convincing win. I think we bowled them out for 80. No, we would have batted first, made 165, and then bowled them out for 89 reply. So
yeah.
I think confidence will be high going into this week. Obviously, they got their job done against Caulfield quite convincingly on Saturday, Sunday as well. So it's going to be a real tough battle. But I think the boys are up for it. They're looking in good shape. We've got a good sort of form heading into finals. So I think I'm backing our boys in quite comfortably, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, going in 1-1 against Mount Waverley this season, you already turned around. So the Fours against Endeavour Hills lost both their games during the year, but end up pumping them in the final on the weekend.
Yeah.
So well done to the Fours.
Yeah, well done to the Fours. I'll just make another shout out to Ryan Chappell. First time we've won the Chappell Wirrakoon Shield.
Yes, of course.
Floating around somewhere in here.
I think it's up there. Come on, go get it.
Yeah, go grab it.
Go grab it. Yeah, so basically we've touched on this in previous podcast episodes, but I think we're 0-7 since that shield came into effect. So we haven't been able to bring it home for Chaps yet. But to sort of bring it home in such an important game as a final, I think it's really special. And there's a tear in his eye, I'm sure.
Yeah.
There we go. There it is.
Hold that up for the camera. Yeah, so fantastic to finally bring back the shield, literally named after him, after Ryan Chappell. So, as you said, yeah, he was a very proud man to win that, and even better to win it in a final and take it through to a grand final next weekend. So, well done to the Fours. Good luck this weekend. Saturday, Sunday, Pinewood Reserve against Mount Waverley. Final shout out once again, because I don't think we made enough of it, but Dion De Silva, what an innings, 121, set up the win. Almost made more runs than Endeavour Hills as a whole team in a final, which is pretty awesome. So well done, Dion, who has played a lot of the year in the threes, perhaps a touch unlucky to get dropped to the fours and really showed his class and showed his skill.
It's the best way to respond after being dropped.
Absolutely. Yeah. Go and make a ton and win your team a final. So well done, Dion, and well done the fours. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to hear from Ray White, and we're going to come back and talk about the third 11.
The Mighty Oaks podcast is proudly presented by Ray White Oakley. Ray White is there to help with all your real estate needs, including buying, renting, or selling your home. Go and see Jonathan Eaves at Ray White Oakley and tell him the Mighty Oaks podcast sent you.
And welcome back to the Mighty Oaks podcast, and thanks again to our proud sponsor, Ray White Oakley, for sponsoring the podcast. We're going to move on, boys, into the third 11, who also played a semi-final on the weekend. They also have a top four format for their finals, and they also had a win. So they played against Croydon at Croydon's home ground, their ones and twos ground. And we weren't too sure whether the captain of the threes, Anthony Howes, won or lost the toss, but they ended up bowling first. So we actually gave him a quick call. Let's give him a quick call now, all right?
Let's go.
Let's do it. And we got Ant Howes. We've got Anthony Howes live.
All right, guys. So we've done the first ever phone-in part of the segment on the
live on the Mighty Oaks podcast.
Live on the Mighty Oaks podcast. Anthony Howes, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. Just got a couple of questions regarding the final on the weekend. So I'll hand you over to the host, Miles Fabris.
Hello, Ant. We were just wondering, did you win the toss and bowl in the semi-final?
Yes, I won the toss, and I thought about it long and hard, and decided...
And decided what? You cut out.
Decided that we'll have a bowl.
Okay, and when you went to sleep on Saturday night and you were chasing 234, how did you feel about that decision?
There weren't any flashbacks?
I thought about it long and hard, and went to sleep pretty confident that my team could make 235.
Okay, that's good.
We had a pretty strong batting lineup, as we've had all year. And I thought, even though they made 235 on a road, it'll still be a road the next day. So as long as we bat our 80 overs, like they didn't, we'll make more runs than them.
That's a great way to think. And how did you feel when the team was 4 for 15?
I thought, well, I haven't batted yet. Yush hasn't batted yet. And our bowlers are yet to bat. So we might make 150.
Oh, that's great, man. And how are you feeling going into the grand final this weekend? Pretty confident?
Pretty excited. I wouldn't say confident because anything can happen in a final. But obviously more confident after seeing how our team performed on the weekend. obviously backs against the wall, had a big talk at tea about it, and just, you know, a bit of pride for the club and within ourselves and how we wanted our season to go. And, you know, we could have either rolled over and died and be all out 120, or we can dig in and make a game of it, see how far we could take it. And all we needed to do was, you know, build a few partnerships and at the end of the day, bat around to Ewish. And, you know, when we got closer and closer, started to believe a bit more. And once we got over that 200 mark, I thought we were pretty safe. He's still in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I backed in Salmon, who was coming off a 77 in the fifth the week before.
Form batter, yep.
Yeah.
Durag.
I knew that he could hang around and, you know, guide us to a win. So coming into the grand final, I'm pretty excited. I think we've got a strong chance to win. You know, both teams are a chance to win, but I think we're a stronger chance because coming off the game we had, I think whatever adversity we find middle of the game, we should be able to overcome.
Oh, beautiful, mate. Well, thanks for picking up the phone and having a chat to us. We'll see you on the weekend. Good luck in the grand final.
Thank you very much.
All right, get home safe, mate. Mike.
See ya.
Love you.
That was Ann Howes on the phone, captain of the third 11. We might just continue briefly here,
yep.
And we're going to talk more about the third 11 match in a moment once we come back from this break.
Hi, I'm Tom Eisen, and you're listening to the Mighty Oaks podcast. Go Oaks!
All right, we're back here from our chat with Ant on the phone. First time we've had a call into the podcast, so yep. Thank you, Ant, for chatting to us there. And before we get... Actually, let's quickly go through the scores of this game before we get to our interview with the finals hero, Ayush. But as we mentioned, so the threes are playing Croydon at Croydon, and Croydon batted first on day one, and they were all out for 234. Pretty big score. Jim, yeah. Do you want to quickly take us through the bowlers on that day for Oakley and who took our wickets?
Thanks, Miles. So we had a pretty solid day with the ball, I think. It was, obviously, as everybody is well aware, it was absolutely stinking hot over the weekend.
Absolutely.
So Ayush, by the sounds of things, had an absolute day out. So he took 2 for 33 off his 15 overs. Big Ben Noodle Salmon, 2 for 44 off 14. And Aaron Lund, 2 for 58 off 17. Worth mentioning, Manny and Max Ketley both getting one apiece themselves.
Also 1 wicket each, yeah. So the wickets shared, a few big stints put in there. 17 overs from Lundy, 15 from Ayush, 14 from Ben Salmon, all the seamers. I'm sure they would have been tough spells on that day. But as we asked Ant, you know, going in on Saturday night looking to chase 234, it's a pretty big ask in finals. And as we'll find out later on the twos, not very easy to do. But we're focusing on the threes. And on day two, things started very shakily. The team was 4 for 15, top four all out. And then it was the partnership between Ayush and Rayan, an 88-run partnership, counter-attacking partnership that got us back in the game, including one over from Ayush where he hit 20, I think,
yeah.
Off and over.
They would have been, I reckon, 3 for almost single digits at that point in time.
Yeah,
he definitely was only on 1 or 2. The bullet was going absolutely rampant, speaking to the boys this evening, was at his real tail up and then got brought back down to earth pretty quickly by Ayush just going absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, hit a couple of sixes. That's one way to counter-attack. Anyway, I spoke to Ayush tonight at training, so let's hear from him. He can tell us about his amazing match-winning innings of 128 not out of 154 balls. Let's hear from Ayush.
I'm out on the training track with Ayush, the hero of the third 11 semi-final, making 128 not out in a chase of about 234. Ayush, congratulations, mate. What a win. What an innings. How are you feeling after the weekend?
Thank you, Miles. Yeah, it was a great feeling. After all, like, we needed the big win. It was hot. It was like a struggle for everyone, and just wanted to get that win for the boys.
So. Yeah. So let's talk about your innings. So you came in on day two, you're chasing, you come in at 4 for 15 at number six, and then pretty soon after, I think you hit 20 off an over.
Yeah.
When you came in at 4 for 15, what were you thinking? Were you worried about wickets? Did you just think, I'm just going to play my shots? How are you feeling?
Not going to lie, that situation, it was the training session before where Gracie said to back your strengths, and that's what I did. I feel like I was a bit nervous at first, but when there was like a bowling change and the keeper passed a comment that the best bowler is now on, so I was a bit switched on. But right, just the next ball was in my slot, and I just went for it for a six. So So it was a good feeling. So that was like a pressure off for me. And there was like another ball. So there were like 2 sixes and 2 fours in that over. And the support from the gallery was really good. So that was one of the best moments of my innings, I guess.
Yeah, fantastic. And the way you came in at 15 and took the score past 200. So you were batting for a long, long time. As you mentioned, really hot day. Was there any points where you thought you might be cooked, or were you feeling pretty good the whole way through?
Oh, mate, definitely. Like literally after every 3 overs, I was like, fuck, I'm cooked. But I just want to give a huge shout out to Raj, Ryan's dad, who's a physio by profession. He was looking after all the boys, not just me, even on day one when we were bowling and it was like 38 degrees hot. He was looking after, giving us drinks, providing wet, cold towels, keeping us hydrated with electrolytes. And I think with his tips and guidance, I think I went through that phase, keeping myself full. So, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. And that must have helped you as well on Sunday night when you went out to a rave.
Oh, my God. I was so camping. But, guys, never go to a rave after a two-day cricket game. That's speaking from experience. Never do that again.
I could have told you that with no experience. Anyway, mate, you're into a grand final this week. You're playing Caulfield here at Warrawee. How are you feeling about it? Are you excited? Are you confident?
Always. Home of cricket, where we... and it's always good to play for the Mighty Oaks. I've had a good, like, last season bowling here. So I'm pretty excited and looking forward to bowl again and bat again. And it's like another win we needed for the team. And it'll be like a big one. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Awesome, mate. Congrats. What an innings. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Okay, and that was finals hero Ayush Pathania, who scored 128 not out. We chatted to him out on the training track. His innings included 10 fours and 2 sixes. And the 2 sixes, as we mentioned, were pretty very early in his innings. Well supported for a large period there by Rayan, who scored 41 off 88 balls with 3 boundaries. Do you have anyone got the fall of wickets up? Let's get it up.
Yeah, so overall, they were 1 for 3, 2 for 3, 3 for 3, 4 for 15, and then after the big partnership, the fall of wicket of Ray was 5 for 103. Ant Howes at 6 for 158, Sagar 7 for 198, and then Max Getley just before the target at 8 for 219.
Yeah, so pretty steady partnerships from then on. Ayush got contributions down the order from Sagar, who got 17, Ant Howes, who got 16, and then both Max and Ben Salmon both got a little bit under 10, somewhere around the 8 mark, and just supported him all the way through. But I just think it's such an unbelievable effort. He bowled 15 overs and fielded 80 overs on Saturday, then batted all day to get 128 not out on the Sunday, then went to a rave Sunday night. So yeah. Huge effort, just amazing, and he's almost single-handedly taken his team into the grand final. Speaking of the grand final, they will be playing Caulfield here at Warrawee Park at home in the third 11 grand final this weekend. And in terms of their record against them this year, they played them twice, 1 win, 1 loss. So they were both one-day games, though, so pretty different conditions. The third 11 team is also a fair bit different, especially from that round 4 where they lost to Caulfield. So, yeah.
And as is tradition with grand finals at the home of cricket, there will be the pilgrimage up to the hill on both days. So supporters, friends, family, everybody.
Absolutely, get on down.
Come on down, join us on the hill. If you want something probably a little bit more civilised, you can always come up to the grandstand. But up on the hill, that's where we will all be, as is tradition on the grand final day.
And it actually looks pleasant. It's not going to be 38 this weekend. It might be 28, which is going to be a lot nicer. Also, Jim, before we move on, you wanted to talk about the best on medal for the third 11 grand final.
Yeah, look, it's something that is pretty special to the Oakley community. For those that aren't aware, the award for the medal for the player adjourned by the umpires is best of field in the grand final for the third 11, the Alan Stamps medal. We've been fortunate enough to have a couple of winners get it. I know his son, Matthew, has won it, which I know was a fantastic thrill for Alan to give out. And then obviously last year's winner, Tom Eisen, from the grand final. So, boys, I've got a question for you. Who's your tip? We don't know the selection for the teams at this stage, so we'll base it off the teams that were picked in the semi-final. Who's your tip for the Alan Stamps medal this weekend?
The Alan Stamps medal, best on ground. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I'll throw it to you first.
All right. I'm going to go relatively safe, but I'm going to back him in after failing in the semi-final our man Dimesh Patel. I reckon D's going to open the batting, score a big score, and get us home, and he'll win the medal. That's my tip.
Yeah, very nice. I'm going a bit left field here, and it's actually Ayush's partner in crime, Rayan. I've played fours with Ray over the last couple of years, and to see the development over the last 24 months, especially coming from a guy who was batting at eight and bowling meds 2 years ago to now being one of our like premier medal order batsmen, just to see the way that he sort of developed, I think that he's primed for a big innings, and he's shown already in the semi-final he's capable, so I'm backing him in here for at least a, you know what, I'll even go score. I reckon 72 he'll make.
Oh yeah, okay, I'll add a score for D. 84.
Okay.
Yeah, very nice, boys. Jim? Very nice. Look, it's hard to not go past Ayush. I think that will, his game on the
he's
weekend just absolutely solidifies the fact that he's probably a class or two above third 11 level. But
and double chance as well because he bats and bowls.
But that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go with a bit of value. I'm not just going to...
Value pick, yeah.
Yeah, Ayush is probably paying $1 at this stage to be getting the medal. But I'm going to back in Nowundi Lundi. I reckon Aaron Lund... He could be the man.
No undie Sunday on
No Lundy. Undies on Sundays for Lundy. For the same reason, I reckon he could absolutely blast his way through any batting attack in the third 11, but as has been seen on a rare occasion, can hold a stick too. So I could see Lundy coming out late in the innings, blasting a quick fire 20 or 30, and he's got the potential to take easily 5+ on grand final day. So for me, I'm going to go a little bit left to centre and a bit of value. I'm going to go for Aaron Lund.
That's a big call considering he probably would be batting 11 as well.
No, I'm still backing him in.
Well, fair enough. If he gets runs at 11, it's going to be a nice close game, exciting finish, but hopefully we get a win. Well, yeah, that's the threes. So grand final this weekend versus Caulfield here at home. Good luck to everyone in the threes. Congratulations on a great season to the threes and fours so far. And we hope that both teams can come home with a win and we get some great content for the podcast on Sunday night here at the club.
Going to have a bit of a roaming miles in the change rooms afterwards.
We'll see. We'll try and get the mic around to the winning team and the player of the match if we have one, which will be awesome. So good luck to the threes and fours. We're going to take another quick break here on the Mighty Oaks podcast. And we're going to come back and wrap up the second 11 season after they unfortunately lost. Jim and I were playing. We'll tell you all about the match after this.
Hey OCC community, my name's Matt and you're listening to the Mighty Oaks podcast. Support us by following us on YouTube or checking out our socials.
Hello, welcome back again to the Mighty Oaks podcast. We've wrapped up the fours and the threes this week and now we're going into the twos. Jim, you and I played this qualifying final here at Oakley against Caulfield. And unfortunately, we could not get the job done, despite the fact that we were second and they were fifth in the second 11. It's a top six finals.
Yeah.
If we won, we would automatically go through to a semi-final. If we lost, if we were the highest ranked loser, we would have also gone through. But unfortunately, those silly boys at Elsternwick who finished on top also got pumped. So we're unfortunately eliminated.
Yeah, it's, I guess, the curse and the blessing of the top six system. I think have we been on the fortunate side of it? I think there might have been a couple of occasions where we've been
one year in the ones where we were very fortunate. Yeah.
But look, it's a luck of the draw. You get obviously the benefits of having the home final, so it was lovely to be at the home of cricket. I think it was a discussion at some point in time. It was my third home game for the season here because of fixturing, so it was crazy. Nice just in a general sense to be back at Oakley playing cricket. But yeah, unfortunately, results didn't go our way. It was probably carbon copy of the qualifying final last year, but this time we didn't get the chocolates.
Yes, well, how this game panned out, obviously the very hot weekend again. Unfortunately, in my opinion, a fair bit of this was losing the toss. Of course, we could have won either way, but we did lose the toss and were asked to bowl on day one. I think it was a very good day for batting. It was a good batting wicket, probably the best one we've had at Warrawee this year. Having said that, we didn't play many games here, so we probably wouldn't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, Caulfield batted first. We got off to an excellent start, had them 3 for 10 or something very similar, with a couple early wickets to Matt Stamps and one to Latho. But you could just see in that heat and me being behind the stumps, the amount of movement and venom in the first 8 overs was very different 20 overs in. and it just got harder and harder as the day went on. Having said that, I don't think we bowled badly or fielded badly. There were a couple of half chances.
Yeah.
I think we dropped one catch maybe. There was a very obvious edge that was 100% out, but given not out.
I hear it's a new addition to Frog Box next year, the DRS.
Oh,
Schnicker.
Have you watched that back on Frog Box?
I have seen it.
And is it
it's
pretty obvious?
Fairly blatant, yeah.
That's crazy. It is a funny sport we play when there are 15 men out on the field at that time. 14 out of 15 people thought and knew that that was out. But the one person we had to convince thought it was not out.
The one with the control.
But yeah, anyway, after all that, Caulfield did make 227. They were all out in the last over of the day. The pick of the bowlers was Matthew Stamps. He got 4 for 29, 2 at the very start and 2 at the very end. We also had James Francis, who bowled a really, really important spell, 12 overs straight.
Yeah, definitely, I reckon. I've watched him bowl throughout the season, and that was the most mature, most controlled innings I reckon I've seen him bowl. Like, I agree. At times, he's come in with very limited opportunity, and by virtue of the fact we've played quite a lot of one days this year, you've seen him come in probably with 2 or 3 overs towards the back quarter of an innings, and you sort of get the sense he's just trying a little bit too hard. But to see him come out on Saturday and bowl the way he did, he settled in, he bowled really tight areas and got the breakthrough that we were desperately, desperately looking for at that stage.
And then got 2 in an over, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, he got Ando out, who, again, can be a very dangerous batter at second 11 level, the Caulfield captain. So for him to come out, do that, I was wrapped for him. And obviously at that point in time, I was wrapped for the side because I thought we were, going to start breaking through.
We're in a good position. He ended with 2 for 33 off his 12. Latho, the big man, 2 for 34 off his 15. We had one wicket also to Tommy Eisen and Matt Tyson at the end of the day there. All out for 227. I think we went to bed that night
hot.
Confident. Well, yeah, very
hot.
Very
hot.
That's a good point. But I think we're still confident. The outfield has quickened up a lot here. The pitch was very good to bat on. We certainly thought it was achievable, put it that way, chasing 227, albeit a tough challenge. On day two, myself and Rob Howes opened the batting and we got off to a pretty good start. We were able to put on 76 runs for the opening partnership before I got out, unfortunately, picking the one man on the boundary out. And I've replayed that dismissal in my head a fair few times over the last few days. Right shot, bad execution. But I was out for 41, score was 76. And unfortunately, from then on, it was really tough going. We were chatting just before. We were still in a pretty good position at tee.
Yeah.
About 1 for 100 at tee.
When we came up for tee, definitely it was feeling like, we've got that awesome launch pad that we've spoken about so many times when it comes to two-day cricket, hitting tee with wickets in hand, and also we had some good runs on the board. So was feeling, really good at that point in time.
Yes, but unfortunately, for the rest of the day, 76 run opening partnership. I was looking through it. Next best partnership was 21 runs. So we just lost consistent wickets. Rob was the high scorer. He ended up scoring 64 and batted for a long time, which was a huge effort in the heat. But we probably, as a team, left too many runs to get too late in the innings. We got to a point with 15, 20 overs to go where we needed a run a ball almost. And that's pretty hard to do. And we weren't able to get there. We ended up being all out for 172. And as we said, Elsternwick lost. So we're eliminated. So that's the end of our season.
Yeah, pretty disappointing. But I think we spoke about it after the game. If you looked at the side that we won the premiership with this year to the side that we lined up with on Saturday, there's just sweeping changes throughout. So I know it's been spoken about at length. Seeing guys like Tom Eisen come into the side, just absolutely only spot.
He had a great year. Took the most wickets for the year in the twos as well.
Guys like Iron Mike Tyson, Matty Tyson, just cementing his spot even more so in that side.
Mm-hmm.
Then throwing in the likes of Carter, who's joined us, has just been a fantastic addition. Jimmy Francis, as I mentioned before, like there's a really strong nucleus of new guys coming into that
Ange
side.
Ange had a great year.
Benny
Salmon.
Remiss of me not to mention Ange in his year and Benny Salmon's come up. Ray, who had a fantastic innings in the third 11s, played a handful of games in the twos as well. So whilst it's disappointing, there's a lot of green shoots coming through.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Bolts.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. And also, I think it's worthwhile giving a fair bit of credit to Caulfield. They played really well. They batted well on Saturday after being three for not many early. They had three guys score 50-plus runs, and they bowled pretty well. They had a spinner that bowled 25 overs, I think, for them, which probably was a difference in the end. We didn't really have a spinner who could hold up an end for that long.
Particularly in the heat. Like, it just allowed... Yeah. He plonked himself at the cemetery end, for those listening at home. So he bowled from there pretty much... Started his spell, bowled his 26 overs straight or whatever, and it just allowed them to rotate those other guys from the other end, but also rotate those bowlers off for a spell. Like, they were coming on and off quite regularly after their spells, having a cold drink, chilling out, and then going back on and reloading and going again. So
yeah, and he ended up taking 5 wickets as well for his 25 overs. And it just meant, like, I'm looking at the scorecard now, the most overs that their seamers had to bowl was 11, whereas our seamers were bowling 15, 16.
Yeah.
And I think that probably hurt us in the end. But yeah, as we said, a pretty good year to finish second. But yeah, well done Caulfield. They took a couple of unbelievable catches as well.
Which one was your favourite? I still reckon the one back with the flight, that was the more difficult catch. That was crazy. There was absolutely no point in time where I thought, he's going to catch that.
Was that Jordan?
Yeah, that was Jordy hitting back towards the car park side of the cemetery end.
And the one off Matt Stamps, who absolutely belted one through mid-wicket, and somehow he held onto it.
I did actually think about this the other day. I thought I'd save it and mention to you now. It was very reminiscent of... He says it's a reflex catch. I still stand by the fact that he absolutely was scared senseless and just flung his hand out as a protective thing. Nico's short catch at short leg in the third 11 grand final in 13-14. I'm still claiming it was self-preservation.
Yeah.
But it just reminded me that just flinging of arm out and it sticking... that catch.
And I guess that's the thing in finals, right? Those moments, those half chances, if you can grab a few, it goes a long way. And in the end, the difference was 55 odd runs that we lost, and a couple of those catches certainly helped them and hindered us. Having said that, Rob Howes did take a blinder on Saturday at first slip, so well done, Rob. Anyway, that's the end of the second 11 wrap. Well done. Unfortunately, out for the year. And we will be up on the hill supporting the thirds and the fours this weekend in their grand finals. All right, we're going to take another short break, and we're going to come back and finish off the night with Giro's quiz returning with a little bit of a new format. And we're going to wrap up and tell you about some end of season events we've got coming up here at the Oakley Cricket Club.
Hi, I'm Ben Salmon, and you're listening to the Mighty Oaks Podcast.
Welcome back to the Mighty Oaks Podcast. Before we wrap up this episode, we're going to have another edition of Giro's quiz.
Yes, we are. Bit of a different format this time for you guys.
Okay.
I'm actually going to put you against each other, but it's going to be a bit of rapid fire. So I'll give you 1 minute to answer as many questions as possible.
Okay.
The chase style, if people watch The Chase at home. So we're going to do a flip of the coin to see who goes first / which set of questions you've got.
Sorry, Jero. Can I ask a question with the format?
Of course.
Can we say pass and come back to it at the end?
If you want to, yes.
Beautiful.
Cool.
Good question.
Awesome. Good question. All right.
I'd like to know the rules.
Yes. So, Jim, as the visitor, I'll get you to pick heads or tails.
I go tails, mate.
And tails never fails. So, would you like list A or list B of questions?
I'll just go list A.
List A? Would you like... I'll even give you the choice. Would you like to go first or second? Scoreboard pressure.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Didn't work for us on Saturday, batting second, so I'll bat first.
All right. Okay. I'll get a stopwatch ready.
Get the stopwatch. Give him a minute.
And so I'm counting how many he gets.
I'll count two, but I just need that extra.
I'll have the fingers up if you're watching.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. All right.
I'm sure you can put graphics in afterwards, can't you?
There's a lot of editing for that. All right. I will warn you, these are pretty easy. So I'm hoping for a 15. If there is a clean sweep.
So the max is 15.
The max is 15.
Okay. Can I start answering Miles' questions if I get through them?
No. All right, I'm ready to roll.
I don't have that many.
Like
that many. I don't have that many listed.
All right, let's do this.
When you're ready, Miles. 3, 2, 1, go. Name the traditional fielding position in between point and mid-off.
Point and mid-off. Cover.
Which Australian cricketer was nicknamed Roy?
Andrew Symons.
Who took over the captaincy when Steve Waugh retired?
Ponting.
Yep. In the 2005-06 Ashes, the Australian bowling quartet was made up of Shane Warne, Glenn McGrath, Stuart Clarke, and which other bowler?
Five.
05, 06 Ashes.
Go again.
Shane Warne, Glenn McGrath, Stuart Clark, and which other?
Pass.
With a score of 400, who has the highest ever...
Brian Mara.
Who has played the most test matches?
Sachin Tendulkar.
Who has the fastest ever ODI century?
Oh, pass.
Who has the most catches in test match history?
I'm going to go Gilchrist, but I'm not sure what it is.
Who has the fastest test century?
Is that Brendan McCullum?
Yep. Who won the 23-24 BBL season?
23-24. Oh, Jesus. I don't know. Pass.
In which city is Edgbaston Stadium?
Time. Six, I think.
Six. So going over the ones that he missed, your quartet of bowlers, Shane Warne, Glenn McGrath, Stuart Clark, and Brett Lee.
Brett Lee, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which other one did you
skip? I was blanking on that too.
Yeah.
Who has the fastest ODI century? You said it was AB de Villiers.
Yeah.
And most test catches is actually Rahul Dravid, somehow.
Yeah, okay. What, not a keeper? That must be not including keepers.
There must be.
Yeah, it must be not including. I'm going to call out that. There should have been a stipulation.
Well, I tell you what, the question that I got online did not stipulate, and it still said Rahul Dravid.
If we look up...
He has 200...
And it is Gilchrist.
We can give it to you, but he has had 210 catches.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure...
Rahul Dravid.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Well, he filled it at first slip.
Look
it
up now.
Most test catches.
His entire career was at first slip, to be fair. So he's got plenty coming off the bat.
Yeah. I'd still be surprised if there's not a keeper that beats that, though. Jim is fact-checking as we speak. But six is the score to beat for me.
Oh, see. This, I reckon you've stumbled on your words here. What's the question?
It was, who has the most catches in test match history?
Ah, see. Rahul Dravid has the most catches in a test match.
Ooh, I'm not sure. Because that's...
With 200.
Yeah, with 200.
200. Jeez, that is a lot of dismissals.
Which fielder has taken the most catches? Ricky Ponting. We're just flying through here. But maybe after, we'll do a bit of fact-checking.
Yeah. Do a bit of fact-checking.
Let's see. If it's six all, maybe it's a problem.
Yeah, if it's six all, I'll go rapid fire just first in.
Mark Boucher is popping up.
Okay.
All right.
So,
When did you start it? Did you start it when you started reading the first question, or did you go start?
Yeah, ready, set, go, and then read.
All right.
Okay.
Ready, set, go.
Who has the most ODI runs in history?
Ricky Ponting.
Which team has won the first ever ODI World Cup?
Australia.
What is the length of a cricket pitch in yards?
22.
Yep, correct. What are the travelling English supporters known as around the world?
The Barmy Army.
What is an umpire signalling if he raises both two hands and arms above his head?
A six.
What is the name of a ball that is considered unplayable?
A Jaffa?
Yep. How many balls total in a T20 match, both innings?
240.
What does LBW stand for?
Leg before wicket.
Yep. A cricket ball is made up of leather, string, and what other material?
Pass.
What is the distance between the pop increase and the bowl increase in metres?
One.
Which BBL star was banned for 12 months after being deemed to have an illegal action?
Chris Green.
Yep. How long is the tea break in test cricket?
40 minutes. No, 20 minutes.
No. Take your first answer. Seven. He just got it as well.
I'm still finding that technicality on the catches. That's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous.
All right. Well, Giro, why don't you... That's pretty much the end of Giro's quiz, right? Yes. But before we announce a winner... we'll move on to the next segment. Giro, do some quick fact checking for us about who has the most test catches. While Jim, you tell us about the end of season celebration.
Beautiful. Yeah, so we'll do end of season celebration first. So I think we've mentioned it a few times across the players' communications, but this is now going out to the wider OCC community. We've got a bit of feedback that the presentation night is probably getting a bit old. So we're relaunching it this year as the end of season celebration night. So we've changed the format. We're going to go down to Wines on Poth, just around the corner by Hughesdale Station. Been sort of a long-term association with the club without an official sense. We've done a lot of trivia stuff down there.
Yeah, great joint down there.
They've recently added in some outdoor area. So we thought we'll go down there. We'll have some cocktail, other drinks, some finger foods, some blast through all of our presentations type of things, highlighting all the great performances throughout the year as well as the other awards. So we're still not losing that element to it. Mm-hmm. and then we're going to be back to socialising and having a fantastic night together. I think the opportunity to get out and socialise as opposed to separating off into different tables has definitely been a point that's raised. We want to get down there. We want to have fun. We want to hang out with our mates one last time before we, in a lot of ways, part ways for winter.
Yeah.
So finish off with a bit of a bang. There'll be more details to follow, and I'm sure we'll be up all over the socials. So Saturday, April 13th at Wines on Poth, just by Houston Stations, as I meant, $55 per person, or it's $100 for a couple, which includes a $20 drink card per person for the evening. There'll be $10 drink specials. We've worked with Wines on Post to make a nice little package for us. So there'll be $10 drink specials. So obviously there's a couple of drinks involved in that voucher. And yeah, it should be a fantastic night. Like I said, the idea is it to be social and engaging and we all hang out with each other, which would be good fun.
And if people want to come, who do they need to tell?
So pretty much shoot through the money to the club, either via transfer or to the club here, and then just drop me a message. I think most people have got my phone number. If not, it's not going to be hard to track me down across social media or I'm in all the WhatsApp groups. So shoot me through whether you're coming by yourself or with a partner. And yeah, we'll add you to the list. Numbers are limited. Yeah, Wines on Post is a smaller venue than what we've had before. So we will be strict on numbers. I've got a lot of people coming through saying they're coming. If it gets tight, those that are paid, you lock in your ticket.
Just for the record, I'm coming. Lock me in.
With a plus one, mate?
Yeah, probably a plus one.
No, probably not.
Definitely a plus one.
Definitely a plus one. Beautiful.
Payne's and I before you leave.
Yeah, yeah. Good. You, Jiro?
I'm not quite sure because I believe I have a 21st on that night. So
oh, no.
I'll make an appearance later at night.
Oh, I would have thought just come for pre-drinks and the presentation nights and you'll be out the door.
Oh. Either well, one. If it's early, then...
Yeah, I believe it's starting at about 7 o'clock. So you're
fine. Bang, easy.
Yeah, we've got to allow for blokes coming from football and other things. So, yeah.
All right, let's get back to the quiz. Jiro, have you got an answer for us on who has the most test catches in
history? I think both of you should owe me an apology. Now, I will admit, this is not including wicketkeepers, but
you didn't ask that in the question.
No, so I will...
So Rahul Dravid is correct.
Rahul Dravid, according to ESPN Crick Info, in 164 matches in 301 innings. He's taken 210 catches.
Yep. What about in his career? Including keepers?
Including keepers? I haven't been able to find that one.
No, that's the one we wanted.
That's the one. That was the thing. All right. Well, while he's doing that, we'll keep going through one of the more recent events that happened on the weekend.
Yes.
It is a personal favourite of mine just because of what the event is and what the award represents. So on the weekend, we had our Stan Blackburn MVP count. So the way that works is at the end of every game, the playing group submit some votes to Robert House. He does a tremendous job with all the stats, awards, all this type of thing. We submit that.
Thank you, Rob.
And then he collates them into the overall votes for the award. So each game, the team effectively has 6 votes that has to be spread out between a minimum of 3 players.
Mm.
But what that can also mean is 6 players get 1 vote or 1 player gets 4 and 2 ones. It just gets divided at a minimum amongst 3 players. So it's a player voted award for how they feel a particular player has impacted the game for that particular day.
Beautiful.
So obviously it's quite rewarding to have that recognition from your playing group. So we had perennial contender Dimesh Patel finishing in 3rd, new player to the club this year, and I think he's just been amazing since he's joined the club, both off and on the field. Josh Peake finished 2nd. And I would imagine it's no surprise to anyone, just the caliber of player that he is. Ryan Pearson came up the winner. So well done, Ryan Pearson.
Congratulations, Pearson.
Is that his first one? I'm not sure. I couldn't remember. Is it?
No, I think Blake's won one.
Yeah.
But I think it's Ryan's first one. Yeah. Stats man over here, because I've got those stats as well.
Okay, we're back.
Ryan Pearson, 17 votes. Josh Peake, 15 votes. And Dimesh Patel, 13 votes. Back over to the other stats, though, the one that we're really interested on. There are 12 keepers that have taken more catches, all retired. And Johnny Bairstow is on 209, so just about to pass him as well. But the person with the most catches is your mate that you were saying just before. I don't even know how to pronounce his surname.
Who?
Mark.
Oh, Boucher.
Boucher, that's the one. With 532. Adam Gilchrist is 2nd with 379.
Okay, so long story short, I won, you lost.
Nah, I reckon we chucked that on the socials. The question was ambiguous.
No, but you still got it wrong.
Well, I didn't know what the question was.
But you did.
Nah.
But you did. Well, who'd you even say?
Gilchrist.
Oh, well, you didn't get it right.
So you had 2nd, so you're pretty close.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for the quiz. Thank you, Jim, for telling us about the Blackburn Medal and the end of season celebration. Well done again to Ryan Pearson. We're going to look to have all four captains on the podcast next week or in the coming week or two, and that include Ryan Pearson. So we'll chat to him about winning that award as well as his year captaining the first 11. But that'll do us for this episode of the Mighty Oaks podcast, finals edition. Two massive grand finals coming up this weekend. If you're an Oakley fan, get down Saturday or Sunday here at Warrawee or at Pinewood Reserve to see our threes and fours do battle and try and win a couple more blue triangles for us as we look at all the blue triangles on the roof here at Oakley. Hopefully we add a couple more. Thanks again to Ray White, our community partner and podcast sponsor, for sponsoring the podcast this season. If you're listening on Spotify or watching on YouTube, give us a like, give us a subscribe, share it around, tell your friends, and tell them about the Oaks in grand finals this weekend. Thanks for joining me, gents. Anything, beautiful. Any final words to add before we leave?
Yeah, just a quick one, boys. We spoke about who might get the best of field for the third 11, the Alan Stamps medal. Any tips for the fourth 11? Who are we backing in? I might leave Giro to last. He's the most well-informed with the fourth 11. He's been in amongst that group all year. Milosh, who are you going with?
Fourth 11, man of the match will be Raf Parton.
Good.
Or have
shout.
I taken yours, Giro?
Yeah. Well, I backed him in a couple of weeks ago.
You did?
Yeah. All right. That's fine. I still choose him because I've, continue.
All right. Well, I choose Raf Parton. Jim?
I'm going to back Taran in.
Taran, nice.
Yeah, I reckon he's going to be the man. Yeah. I reckon it's going to be his day.
I'm going completely different to you guys. I'm going with a bowler. I'm going with Joel Ajani. Mentioned him a fair few times earlier in the year. And has done plenty with the ball in the fourth 11. And although it is a completely different competition on a Friday night in under 15s on synthetic, so completely different conditions, he's made about 550 runs for the year.
Well, he's been, what was it? He made the 100
he's
a couple
made
of 100, weeks ago.
And he's then made an 80, odd. And then he made another 80 in the semi, should I say, that they unfortunately went down in. And then he's made a couple other 50s for the year. So he's made a stack of runs in that competition.
My rebuttal will be the same to you with Lundy. You know, we're probably about at 11.
No, he won't.
He did last weekend.
No, he would have batted 10.
Anyway. That'll wrap up the episode. We got to get moving, fellas. That is the Mighty Oaks podcast. Thank you for listening. Good luck this weekend in the grand finals, boys. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week. See you on the hill, everyone.